chapter 1. Acts, echo, that's Hebrew. Acts chapter 1. Now, if you've been with us since the first year, over the past month, we've been doing a series and been teaching about the words of Jesus and actually been sharing and talking about the principles of the kingdom. And I believe, according to my count here, this is the sixth one or the sixth message that we have shared. And Jesus had a lot to say about the kingdom of God. Now, we have recorded in the Gospels the things that Jesus specifically said because they're in red letters. But the end of the chapter in the book of John tells us that there would not even be volumes enough to give all the account of everything that Jesus said and he did while he was in the earth. So we're learning that if we can apply principles and we learn to, you know, incorporate the principles of God into our home, into our lives, into us as Christian, how many know we'll live a fuller life, amen, we'll live a better life, and we'll live a blessed life. Amen? And so what we come back to do is to, my job as the pastor of the church is to teach you the Word of God, to teach you these principles of God's Word to help give you the ability to become a better Christian. How many of you want to become a better Christian? Amen. You don't want to just stagnate. You don't want to just stay a baby all of your Christian life. Amen? No more than you want your children to stay babies. They're cute, you know, and they're cuddly, and praise God for babies, but there comes a time where we need to grow. I said we need to grow up. Amen? I know it's a lot better to be a baby because everybody does things for you and tells you how cute you are and woo, Gucci, Gucci, goo. But, you know, we need to grow up. Say, grow up. And so God shows us how to apply the Word. Now, let me just give a quick kind of an overview here to catch up in case some of you haven't been in all these. And, of course, again, I encourage you to get the messages. There's just so many ways you can get them in here in this church, and you can go back and you can listen to them and get all the goody out of it. Amen. It's better than juicy fruit. Well, we first begin talking about what a disciple was. In the book of John, chapter 8, verse 31, 32, Jesus was teaching. He said, if you continue in my word, he said, then you are my disciples, and the truth shall, you know, set you free. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So it's not just the fact that the truth is in the pages of your Bible. It's learning to know the truth, amen, so we can walk free and not be handicapped in life, not be in bondage and chains of the enemy and the struggles and the trials that life can bring. And then we talked about what it means to love Jesus. How many were here when we talked about what it means to love Jesus? You know, Jesus said in John 14, 15, he said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And we spent about two, I think maybe three weeks of talking about what it meant just to keep the commandments of God. And then we talked about the source of our power. Jesus was a master teacher. That's why they called him rabbi, because he was a master at teaching the instructions of God. And he made something, we didn't go to the scripture, but I gave it to you. I think I gave it to you last week, Zechariah 4, 6. You can just write it down, where he said, it's not by, you know, might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. So we can learn as the people of God to operate in our own flesh, or we can learn to operate in the spirit. And if we don't ever graduate out of being fleshly Christians, then we're going to struggle in our Christian walk with God. Amen. You know why I say that? Because the Word of God, Jesus said that. You know, if we're carnally minded and we stay carnally minded, then we're going to reap of that carnality destruction. How many of you would rather choose life and blessing over death and cursing? Okay, so we have to learn, you know, and most of us, let's just be honest, most of us lived most of our life outside of the realm of the Spirit. So we had to learn to walk not only by faith, but we had to learn to walk in the Spirit. And so it's, you know, again, a lot of people come into a church and they think the church is perfect. No, the church is not perfect. We need help. Amen. There's not a one in here, including me and you, Amen. That does not need to continue to grow in the things of God. Amen? And oh, how the world has got so much trouble. Aren't you glad you're not in the world anymore? I said, aren't you glad you're not pierced through with all the sorrows and the things that the world is going through? Now, we're in the world, but we're no longer of it. Amen? So we talked about those things. And then Jesus said in John 14, 16, He said that He was going to leave, but He would send a helper. In fact, He said, I'm going to give you another helper. Now, I like the word another because it means, in the Greek language, it means an exact copy or a duplicate of who Jesus was. And it's a picture. The word parakletos is a Greek picture word of someone that walks so tight, so close to you, that He can whisper in your ear and you will hear that whisper above all the other shout. Are you with me? And so we learned that the helper is, you know, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is in us because not only does He walk alongside of us to help us, the Bible says He's our advocate, He's our standby, He's our intercessor, He's our teacher, He leads us, He guides us, He directs our paths. Oh, I tell you, the Holy Spirit is a wonderful third part of the Trinity that not only dwells alongside of us, but the Bible says that He comes and lives on the inside of us. Are you here this morning? Amen. So, John 14, 18, we talked about this, that He said, I will not leave you comfortless. Or again, in John 14, 18, He said in the New King James, He said, I will not leave you as orphans. And so what we found out is, well, in fact, the literal Greek says, I will not leave you abandoned. In other words, you know, Jesus had to leave. In fact, we talked about in John, we'll see in just a moment, about how He said it was advantageous or expedient. Now, we don't talk expedient, but we can understand what it means to be or to have an advantage. You have an advantage as a believer who is filled with God's Holy Spirit because you have the very life of God on the inside of you to help you in life, to help you live above the low life or what we call the beggarly elements of this world system. Somebody ought to say praise the Lord. Amen. And then last week we talked about rivers and wells. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 7, He said, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And so today, and I'm quoting again what the Word of God says, that He said that you have rivers of living water flowing out of you. And we learned something. I hope this was a revelation to many of you, that the rivers are really not for you, but they are for other people. See, you're not going to help anybody else until you yourself have the rivers of living water flowing out of your innermost being. And those waters flowing out of you as rivers, plural, is to touch other people's life. Because how many know there is a lot of trouble going on out there today? Amen? And you need to have something because people are looking for the reality. They're not looking for religion. Now, they'll get caught up in religion because people with reality don't get to them first. But God wants you and I to get with them in the reality of Jesus, not the religion of Jesus. Somebody ought to say amen. Okay. And then John chapter 7, I'll give you John chapter 4, 7 through 14, where He said, not only do you have rivers of living water to flow out of you, but He said that I'm going to give you a well of water or a fountain of water to spring up out of you, these living waters that will be the source of those rivers. But the well is for you. Say the well. It's for you. It's for you because there are going to be times where you need to get the pump primed. There's going to be days where you have opportunity to get down. There's going to be days when things of life begin to overwhelm you. Now, don't look at me so, you know, pious there. I mean, how many know that the things of life have a way of accumulating and lighting on our shoulders to weigh us down? So we have wells on the inside of us that are for us, and we need to learn to draw from those wells. Amen? And so this week, and we talked about the source of our power, and of course the source of our power is the Holy Spirit. And in John 16 and 7, we read that, so we're not going to go back. I can't go back and explain all these things to you. But again, he said, it is to your advantage that I go away. He said, if I do not go away, he said, then I cannot send the Helper. And I explained a little bit what that means. In other words, it is to your advantage to have the Holy Spirit in you now and walking alongside of you than it is to have physically Jesus here. You follow what I'm saying? I use the example, you know, if Jesus decided today and he was here in the earth that he wanted to go to my friend's church in Houston and not be with us today, how many know we wouldn't have any presence of God here? But thank God, see, Jesus can be everywhere now. Jesus can be anywhere. That's what we call omnipresent. He is present with us because he lives on the inside of us. Are you with me? Okay, so we talked about all these things, and we don't really understand. We don't understand how God is everywhere at one time and in everybody who believes at one time and all. We don't understand all that, so let's don't pretend that we do. Let's just believe that he is, amen? Because the Holy Spirit is here to help us. Say, help us. Amen. And we are better off with the Holy Spirit here than they were when Jesus was with them. All right. Now let's move on here and just write this scripture down because we referred to it, and then I'm going to get into some new stuff here. Luke chapter 24, verse 49, he said that you are, he told the disciples, say disciples, that they were to tarry in the city of Jerusalem until they were endued with power from up on high. The word endued means to be clothed with and to be influenced by. Now listen, let me just stop here and ask you a question. If it was important that Jesus told his disciples to go wait in Jerusalem until they could be clothed or endured of and under the influence of the Holy Spirit, do you think it's important for you and I to be filled and endued with power from up on high? I said, do you think that if we're going to do anything for God worthwhile, then we need to have the same power operating in and through us? Jesus said, remember, he said, and the works that I do, you will do also, and greater works shall you do. Well, how are we going to do the works that Jesus did, or even greater works for that matter, unless we have the same power or the same ability to do them? Now, here's the problem in the body of Christ. They have not waited for the power from up on high. And so they go out trying to do the works of Jesus, and they fizzle out like a wet firecracker. There is no power, and so when there's no power, there's no anointing, and if there's no anointing, there's nothing to break or destroy yokes and lift bondages and burdens off of people's lives. Amen. Amen. So it's important, say it's important, that we receive the empowering of the Holy Spirit and then go out and do the works of Jesus. We are called by God to do those greater works. Amen. Don't look at me so funny now. All right. So in Acts chapter 1, have you found it? All right. Acts chapter 1. Let's go back and start here at verse 1, Acts chapter 1. It says, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up after he through the Holy Spirit, say the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after the suffering or after the cross, many infallible proofs being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, it's important that you, I just have to stop here and tell you, it's important that you see this passage of Scripture in the book of Acts here because, listen to me, what he's saying here is that this was the first message that Jesus preached once he was resurrected and, you know, received that glorified body and came back to minister to the apostles before he went up to be at the right hand of the Father. He preached and he taught the principles of the kingdom of God. So if he taught those things and felt like that was the most important message to get out, his first, really, his message after the resurrection, after the crucifixion, then it ought to be important to us. Okay? Now what, you know, let's go on. He said, and being assembled, verse 4, together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. In other words, don't go out and try to do your own thing yet. Don't go out there and even try to witness yet. You're getting quiet. He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait. Say wait. Say wait again. But wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. What was the promise? We just read it in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verse 30 or 49, where he said, you tarry and you wait for the promise of the Father so that you can be endued with that power from on high. Now drop down to verse 8 because of lack of time here. It says, and you shall receive what? You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be a witness to me in Jerusalem. Now notice, he didn't say you'll receive the power to do witnessing. He said you'll receive the power to be a witness to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and the end of the earth. So how do we receive the power to be a witness? We have to wait and listen and receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm teaching you these things because this is what we call the infilling or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Or in other words, it is the way that you and I as believers, Christians, after we are saved, receive the power. It's a second experience. It's experience beside salvation. A lot of people think, well, I got saved and I got the Holy Spirit. Well, that's true to an extent. You can't get saved without getting the Holy Spirit. But there's a different experience in being filled or being baptized with the Holy Spirit. You are powerless. You can be saved a year, 2 years, 10 years, or 30 years, or whatever. And if you have never been filled with the Holy Spirit, you are powerless as a Christian. And you're going to live below your expectations and privilege and what you need to do to live a better life in this earth. Without the power, you will be powerless as a Christian. You need this power in order to achieve and be the best at what God has called you to be. Are you with me? Now go over to Acts chapter 2. Let's see this. Acts chapter 2, let's read verse 32. If you're with me this morning, say amen. Amen. All right. Then it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 32, it said, this Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the what? There it is again, the promise. What was the promise? The promise was the Holy Spirit. So we're talking about the Holy Spirit, right? The promise of the Holy Spirit. He poured out this which you now see and hear. Underline the word see and hear, because Anyone who is filled with the Holy Spirit will see and they will hear. Now, what will they hear? They will hear themselves or whoever is filled speak with other tongues. I knew it'd get quiet about this point, but listen to me. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you will see and you will hear. Amen. What you will hear is either yourself or someone who is filled, you will hear and you will see that they spoke with other tongues. Amen. You will see this all the way through. Now, if your religious mindset are religiously minded, now this is where the fight comes in. This is where the difference and the division, and if you will, even the strife comes in to denominations over this issue of tongues. Should we speak in tongues? Has tongues passed away? But in the book of Acts, everywhere that somebody received the infilling or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they spoke in another tongue. Everywhere you see where somebody, they got saved, they got filled, and they spoke in tongues. Are you with me? All right. And it says, let's drop down to verse 38. It says, Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Now, if you just read that scripture, you'll think that baptism is to get rid of your sin. But that's not true, okay? That's not what that is saying. It says, and you shall receive what? You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gift from the Father. It is a promise from the Father. Look what it says. Read verse 39. For the promise is to you and to your children who? The promise is to you and to your children and to who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. In other words, the Holy Spirit is for us. It's for all of us. And you know what else? It's for your children. You would be wise parents to teach your children about the infilling or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Your children are not too young. Now you say, well, I don't know if I want to push that stuff off on my children yet. What in the world is the matter with you? It is a gift from God. Is God going to give you, parents, a gift that's going to hurt your children? Huh? It said it is a promise from God. Now let me tell you what's wrong by not teaching and training children. See, children, they will receive just about anything you tell them. If they teach them about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and show them that that is what is in the Bible and the people of the book of Acts spoke in other tongues, including the Virgin Mary, you know, they want that. They're not like adults that sit in church for years and years and say, oh, let me see. Oh, I think I'll pray about it. Oh, I don't know. I know he said all that, but I don't know if I can really do that. See, we get so, you know, trying to analyze, trying to figure it out with our head and our mind, and, oh, you know, that sounds gibberish. I don't know. Jesus said you have to come as a little child. Amen. And you have to receive, see, what God gives you. He said, it is. Read it again. He said, it's to you and your children and everyone who even is afar off. It's for all of us. Say it's for all of us. And then go back to the very first part, because in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, see, it's so vital to have the Holy Ghost living on the inside of us. It's so vital for your children to have the Holy Ghost on the inside. I'm blessed when I see a little child wanting to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm so blessed when I see a little child speak in tongues. It don't embarrass me. Does it embarrass you? I said, does it embarrass you? The only reason it embarrasses you is because you don't have it. Because if you had it, you'd want them to have it. Because if you realize the value of it, then you'd want your children to have that same value. Mm-hmm. And verse 4, it says, they were what? How many of them? All filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak what? With other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, Acts chapter 2 tells us what happened when the people of God, listen, were filled with the Holy Ghost. They spoke in another tongue. Now, I know religion wants to tell you and I that these things passed away with the last apostle. Now, we've already talked about that, but the good news is the last apostle hadn't died yet. I said Jesus is still very much alive. And this promise came from the Father, and the Father is very much alive. In fact, you can just, I know some of y'all are probably not interested in the technical aspect of it, but it's really not technical, it's spiritual, because there's so much that has been ruined by religion and man's understanding of things that they explain. In other words, you have to have help, folks, miss this stuff. You have to have some highly educated person help you miss the spiritual things of God. The Greek, it's called the Greek ingressive aorist tense, says this. It means a description of an event that was a one-time entry into an ongoing experience. Did you hear what I said? It is a description of an event that was a one-time entry into an ongoing experience. That means that God sent it here from heaven, it entered into the earth, and He didn't pull the plug on it. It's still going. The Holy Spirit is still here today, amen? And as many as called and saved can receive the infilling or the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It has not died out, thank God. It did not leave when the last apostle of the book of Acts left the earth. It is still here. And it's very vital. It's very important. If you call yourself a Spirit-filled Christian, that you be filled with the Spirit. Well, Acts chapter 19. Let me show you some more things here. If y'all are still here, say amen. Amen. Cheer me on just a little bit here. Amen. Now see, we like to do in this church what we call preventive medicine. Because some of you have heard teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So most of you, I'm sure in here, speak with other tongues. And, but we don't stop preaching or teaching on something because you heard it once. You know, I believe in healing. And thank God I don't need to be healed today because I'm healed. But you know what? I'm not going to quit teaching on healing. Just like I'm not going to quit teaching and preaching on prosperity. Thank God I'm prosperous, but I can use more. We're going to preach on righteousness. We're going to preach on grace. We preach the whole Bible, the whole Word of God. Amen? From cover to cover, from maps to index, whatever. We preach it, amen, because all Scripture is inspired. It's God-breathed by God. And it's for your profit, it's for my profit, that we might grow up. Say grow up. Amen. And so, today, when you understand as we teach on the Holy Spirit, it ought to motivate you. And I don't consider myself a motivational speaker. But what we teach and what we preach should motivate you to live a Spirit-filled Christian life. You're not in a dead church, thank God. You're not in a church that says, hey, all these things passed away. Now, there's different applications of the Holy Spirit. But we're not talking, we're not talking about, for example, the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. But you know, if you study the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, which we're not, but let me tell you this, that 7 of those gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 were in operation both Old Testament and New Testament. But 2 of them came into operation in the New Testament. the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. But the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, all those others, see, were in operation all through the Bible. But, the infilling or the baptism of the Holy Ghost opens up the doorway or the gateway for you and I to be used in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You're not going to operate in the gifts of the Spirit unless you are filled with the Spirit. You say, how about the fruit of the Spirit? See, I've heard people teach and preach, you know, the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, and the ministry, they're all the same. No, they're not. No, they're not. They're not. Okay? The infilling of the Holy Spirit is an experience that comes once you are saved. You're not going to put the Holy Spirit in an unsaved person. And you're not going to move in the gifts of the Spirit unless you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And you're certainly not going to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit has to do with living. It has to do with the very character of God that's supposed to develop in you once you become full of the Holy Ghost. You can't live this thing in your own strength. You can't be good in your own shoes, goody shoes. You can't be good in your own power, in your own mind. You can only reach a certain level. You are limited in life without the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Okay. So, we're talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Okay? In Acts chapter 19. Now, let me see. In Acts chapter 19, let me give you some, you know, I don't know if y'all like these details or not, but Acts chapter 19 is some 58 years A.D. Or you could say it this way, 25 years after Pentecost. I know somebody said, who cares? I do. You know why I do? Because religion said that it came on the day of Pentecost and it didn't happen anymore. Well, religion lied to you. I said religion lied to you. See, man knows how to say things that make people feel good, but they're not necessarily true. We got to come back and see what happened and understand that everybody that was saved, they received the baptism or the infilling, and they spoke with tongues. You say everybody? Everybody. Every instant. Now somebody will come back and say, well, I can take you, Pastor, to Acts chapter 9 and show you where Paul, he got saved and he got filled with the Holy Ghost, but didn't say he spoke in tongues. Well, read the rest of your Bible, dummy. Because in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, I speak in tongues more than you all. Well, did he speak in tongues or not? Well, are you here? So you got to be careful with these kind of religious doctrine and things that people teach that, oh, it's passed away. It is not for us today. This is 25 years after the initial descent of the Holy Spirit. Now look what he says here. This is real good. Look at this. He said in verse 1, he said, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth. And he said, and having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. Or in other words, this was the birthing of the church of Ephesus, the Ephesian church, right here in Acts chapter 19. And it says, and finding some disciples, look up here just a second. Disciples are what? Would you say a disciple is a follower of Jesus? Would you say a disciple is someone who's saved? Okay. Just make sure you understand that, okay? So, he found some disciples and he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now look up here just another second. And I'll let you look back down. Does that question make sense if you're talking to somebody that hasn't been saved? I said, Say, Does that make sense that you would say to a heathen, to an humble, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? They say, what? He said, now here's the kind of people you love to teach. They said, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. Instead of saying, no, we were taught in our church that thing's passed away and speaking in tongues of the devil. I don't want any of that. It's always good when you can come up to somebody, when you show them in the Word, they say, can I get that too? Yeah. Like a little child. They see it in there. Is that for us? Yeah, that's for us. They say, well, how do we get it? Then you show them how to get it. Amen. Well, he said to them, into what were you baptized? So they said, unto John's baptism. And Paul said, well, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. And they heard this. Now listen, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, or they were baptized, we could say, in the name of Jesus, in a baptism of water, water baptism. And, look at verse 6, it says, and when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with what? They spoke with tongues, and they began to prophesy. So here we have an instant where somebody was saved, because you got to be saved before you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is another experience besides salvation. So they were saved first, and then they were baptized in water in the name of Jesus, and they were, Paul laid hands on them, and they were filled, say filled, with the Holy Spirit. And what happened? What happened? Come on, what happened? The Bible says they spoke in tongues. Well, you can ask a believer, most people will say and acknowledge, well, I got saved, and when I got saved, Jesus came inside of me. Well, sure, He came inside of you. Sure, the Holy Spirit came inside. You can't be saved unless the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. But we're not talking about just Jesus coming on the inside of you. We're talking about waiting now and being endued or clothed or influenced with the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a difference. Somebody say there's a difference. Now, the baptism is not automatic. Just because you get saved and come to a Spirit-filled church does not mean that you will automatically be filled with the Holy Ghost. You have a great opportunity to do so. Are you with me? So, this is some verse 3, he talks about how that let me go back and read it here to you, because this is what we need to understand and what we need to see. Every place in the book of Acts where they were saved, I'm going to say it one more time to you, because it became a routine. They got saved, they got filled, and they spoke with other tongues. Can I say something to you? Now, I don't want anybody to get offended and say, well, I'm going to leave the church over this. You are not Spirit-filled unless you speak in tongues. Now, we're not here to condemn anybody, put anybody down. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Every place in the book of Acts where somebody got saved, they got filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke in other tongues. Now, the question is why do we speak in tongues? Because sometimes people major on the tongues, and they miss the whole reason for speaking in tongues. You got to first of all see why you need the power. You got to first of all see that power opens you up to a place where you can make a transfer of always being a carnal Christian to a spiritual one. If you don't ever make a transfer in your life from carnal Christianity to spiritual, you will remain carnal. Now, we can go back, and I don't have time to go through all these scriptures with you, but you can verify that everywhere somebody got saved and in field, they spoke in tongues. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2 talks about how that you cannot receive, the natural mind cannot receive the things of God. So you're trying to be a spiritual Christian without the Spirit, without the Spirit being active in your life. That's why church gets boring to you and you don't receive the revelation and it's not a priority or it's not a pursuit of your life. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. Well, if you're going to make a doctrine out of something, you've got to have at least two or three scripture witnesses. Amen? You don't just say, well, this is what we... No, we believe what the Bible believes. Amen? We don't believe what Pentecostals believe. We don't believe what Charismatics believe. We don't believe what, you know, all the other... We believe what God's Word says. And if people got saved and they got filled and they spoke in other tongues, then we ought to get saved and we ought to get filled and we ought to speak in other tongues. Amen? Because speaking in other tongues opens us up so that God can use us in the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then we can start living a supernatural life and do greater works. Amen. All right, well, let me show you the third place here. Wow, say wow. Amen. I didn't know I was going to get bogged down all that. Acts chapter 10, look at verse 44. Because the only... Now listen, I better say this too before I go read it a little further. Because there's some religion that will tell you, unless you speak in tongues, you're not going to go to heaven. You're not saved. Well, I challenge them to show me that in the Bible. It does not say that. I said it does not say that. There's some people that say, well, you have to be baptized in water and you have to speak in tongues before you're really saved. I challenge them to show us that. That does not say that. It does not say that. The only thing, listen, the only thing, if you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost and you do not speak in tongues, you will still go to heaven if you stay saved. You'll still make heaven. The only thing I can see by not being filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, you will live a lesser Christian life in this life than what you could if you had it. You know why? Because it's an advantage. If you're just a Christian and not filled with the Holy Spirit, you're just barely a step above somebody that's just seeking. Okay? Well, let's look here at Acts chapter 10. Where did I tell you to go? Acts chapter 10, look at verse 44. All right. It says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit, who? The Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. The Holy Spirit fell. Who fell? Did that mean he was walking along and fell down and went boom, boom? Because, man, I tell you, I've heard all kinds of things. When the Holy Spirit, when the Bible says the Holy Spirit fell, guess what fell? No, guess what fell? The Holy Spirit. Tell you, the Holy Spirit fell. Who did it fall on? It fell on those that were listening to the word. Got to be in a position. You think the Holy Spirit's going to fall on you this afternoon watching the Super Bowl? No. Or out late last night, you know, watching some R-rated or X-rated or whatever rated. You think the Holy Spirit's going to fall on you? No. Now, I've heard religion say, well, that doesn't really mean the Holy Spirit. It means the Bible fell on them. Or the Word fell on them. Well, the Holy Spirit's different from the Word. And the Word is different from the Holy Spirit. It didn't say the Word fell on them. It said the Holy Spirit fell on them. So, the Holy Spirit, just like in the book of Acts, came and fell upon those who were assembled together hearing the word of God being preached. All right, what does it say? And those of the circumcision who what? Who what? So he's, listen, I'm trying to make a point to you. They were believers. They were saved. If they were believers, that means they had to receive Jesus, right? It wasn't just talking to a crowd. He wasn't just talking to Jews of Judaism. He was talking about followers of Jesus. He said, were astonished as many as came with Peter because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them what? Speak in tongues and magnify God. And then Peter answered. Now, what did they hear? Huh? What did they hear again? So this is three places I've showed you. They were saved, they were filled, and they spoke in tongues. Now, what did they do with the speaking in tongues? They magnified God. Now, look at the next verse. Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? Did you see that? Oh, well, that's out of order. I thought you said you got to be saved, you got to be baptized in water, and then you can receive the Holy Spirit. I didn't say that. Some denomination said that. All God's criteria is you get saved.
Amen.
You can get saved this morning.
Yes.
And you know what else? You can get filled with the Holy Ghost this morning.
Yes.
And speak in other tongues, and next Sunday we can baptize you.
Yes.
In water.
Yes.
Yeah, see, man tries to put an order on this thing, but God says just believe. Believe that you receive. Get saved. And man, I got some good things in store for those that believe. Hey, you, are you here?
Yeah.
All right. Now, let's look at one other thing here. We're... why do we speak in tongues? Let me show you this right quick, and then we're going to have to stop. I run out of time, and I don't want you all getting upset because I keep you too long, because all the carnal people need to leave at 12. Oh, shame on me. Well, it's true. You know, I don't preach to get big crowds. This church would be quadruple, sixplex, whatever, you know. If we just preach a user-friendly gospel and let everything be, just let everything go, and just whatever be will be. Well, let's read this right quick. First, why do we speak in tongues? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 and 2 says, pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but gifts is in italics. So really, you could say spiritual endowments, to be endowed. There it is again. But especially that you may prophesy. Now, for he who speaks, now here I'm going to give you some things here right quick in closing. For he who speaks in tongues, because I want you to understand why you're filled and why you need to speak in tongues. Here's the first one. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Why do I need to speak in another tongue so that I can speak to God? Now look at this. It says, no one understands him. However, in the Spirit. Now, in the Spirit is a reference to being baptized or filled with the Spirit. Paul uses this reference over and over and over, especially in the book of Ephesians and in his writings. He uses the term or the phrase in the Spirit. In the Spirit refers to being filled with the Holy Spirit. It says he speaks mysteries. So not only do I speak to God, but I'm speaking mysteries. Now, the mysteries are not mystery to God. God knows everything, right? I said God knows everything. It says, but he who prophesies speaks edification. So now he's talking. Really what he's showing you here, the difference between public and private ministry or public speaking in tongues, the gift of tongues, that must have an interpretation. The gift of tongues will come, but it must be interpreted, and the tongue and the interpretation equals prophecy. Okay? But the prophecy must do these three things. It must edify, it must exhort, and it must comfort. If somebody stands up and prophesies, "Thus saith the Lord, if you don't repent today, I will send a hurricane in July and I will blow your house down." That is not God. That's not edifying the church. Amen. "Thus saith the Lord, if you continue to listen to that pastor." Now, you know, y'all, but I have people, they put letters in the mailbox, they email me, say, "We're prophesying to you. We want you to know we are not a disgruntled church member and we're not mad at anybody, but if you don't do this, your church is going to fall apart." Signed, listen to this, signed unknown. Like, I'm going to respond to the devil. You know, I'm not kidding you. I am not kidding you at all. There's all kinds of people out there that want to stand up and act spiritual when they're no more spiritual than Popeye. So, he's got to edify. He's got to build up. He's got to exhort. Okay, but see, that's public speaking in tongues. You don't go out and use your prayer language of tongues and minister to people that are not saved in tongues. Okay? First of all, they don't understand you. And the second thing, they're going to think you're goofy. I had people tell, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, they said, "That stuff's going to scramble your brain. And you're going to be weird." And I said, "No, it's going to make you crazy." I said, "No, it's not. Do you think I'm crazy? I've been doing this for 30 years. Do you think I'm weird?" I remember I got filled with the Holy Ghost and I had an employee working for me. He said, "I'm going to call your supervisor. I'm going to call the manager of the organization and tell him you went off the deep end." I said, "Well, praise God, I've already jumped." But God's got a parachute for us. Amen? Well, let's finish up here. Oh, man. Did you put the clock right, Scotty? It says, "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself." Now, there you go. There you go. Edifies myself. What does edify mean? It means to charge you up. Huh? It means to charge you like a battery. You say, "Why do I need my battery charged?" Well, go look in the mirror. Hallelujah. You leak. Just like a battery in a flashlight. Are you here? So when I speak and I pray in the Spirit, I'm edifying, I'm building myself up. I'm drawing from that wellspring of life on the inside of me. Because, listen, life is tough. There are some great things going on that you and I need to be edified, built up in our innermost being, because we got family, we've got children, and we've got jobs, and we got business, and we got all kinds of things that the devil's trying to steal, kill, and destroy, and take us out of our race. And we better get ourselves every advantage that we have to fight the good fight of faith. So that's why I tell you, he said, "I wish you all spoke," verse 5 said, "with tongues, but even more that you prophesy, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may be edified." So he's just making a distinction here between the gift of the Holy Spirit as far as the gift of tongues and the prayer language that you receive at the infilling or the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then verse 14 says, "For if I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." Amen. So, why do I pray in tongues, Pastor? Well, first of all, I talk to God. Second, it edifies me. It causes me to be built up. Thirdly, in Jude, I better read it, because it is where you exercise your faith. You know where the book of Jude is? That's where God got his idea from the Beatles song. Hey Jude, la 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 la. You go, God, that pastor's crazy. No, I'm just... Jude. It says, but you, beloved, building yourself up in your most what? Holy faith. Praying what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. So, here's what it does for you, okay? It causes you, every time you pray in the Holy Ghost, it's an exercise of your faith. It edifies. It prays secrets. And it prays mysteries. And it exercises your faith. These are just some of the benefits. Romans 8:26, we had time, maybe we'll look at it next week, where it helps your weaknesses. Really, the word weakness is your limitations. Why do I pray in the Spirit? Because when I pray in the Spirit, I bypass my understanding. Amen. Because I don't know how to pray. All I can do is pray in English. Maybe a little bit of Spanish, but mainly English. Right? And that's all you can do if you're praying from the natural. And you don't know everything. But God and the Spirit know everything. So we got to pray for our enemies. Now, I may know that's difficult to pray for your enemies. But you see, I can pray in the Spirit. And say, Lord, I'm going to pray. Because you're mind, and you don't want to pray for somebody that did you ugly. But you know what? You can pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Say, Lord, I'm going to pray for enemy so-and-so today. Kala basidi bodo rosidi. Yeah. You know what else? You don't know what's going on in your family upstate.
Amen.
Or another county, another city. But the Holy Ghost does.
Amen.
You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But the Holy Ghost does.
Yes.
You don't know who's coming to try to train wreck you, but the Holy Ghost. It's going to be interesting. When we get to heaven, us that pray in the Spirit can ask God, say, God, how many times did we avert disaster because you showed us in prayer? Our prayer was answered because we prayed in the Spirit. We didn't understand it, but the Holy Spirit did.
Amen.
Are you with me? It's going to be fun, isn't it? I said it's going to be fun. It's going to be great. Hallelujah. Come on, stand up with me. So, I close with this. Jesus said, say Jesus. He said, you go and you wait until you are endued with power from up on high. Hello? You got to make a transfer of mental assent are serving God out of your mind. You got to get out of your mind. You know why? Because if you don't, you'll two things. The Bible teaches us that we are to cast down every vain imagination and to bring every thought. Well, if I'm a carnal Christian, the thought will come, hey, go watch that porno movie. Oh, okay. You see? Are you here? And then you wonder, well, how come I did that? Because you're carnal. Right? You didn't bring every thought. But it also says that we're to renew our mind. See, if the whole, you know, if a voice come to you and said, go rob Compass Bank, you going to go rob the bank?
No.
You're not going to say, well, could you give me a website or a book to teach me how to do that? No. You've got to learn not only to cast down the imagination, but you've got to replace that with the Word of God.
Amen.
Are you here? That's what we're talking about. He said, you go wait, and you get influenced by the Holy Spirit, and you'll live a spiritual life over the carnal life.
Amen.
And if you live the spiritual life, of that you'll reap life everlasting. Hmm? That's pretty good, isn't it? So today, let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. See, we support missionaries. We're going to take our missions offering. But listen, we don't know what they're going through out there, but the Holy Ghost does. We don't know what they need today, but the Holy Ghost does. And you know what? God wants you and I to live a Spirit-filled life, ruled by the Spirit, not by the sense, and not by the flesh. Sure, it's an emotional thing, but it's not being led by emotions. Amen. Now, every head bowed, every eye closed. I am stopping.